As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
I'm the Mighty Manfred, with your coolest conversations throwback in Little Steven's Underground Garage, presented by Hard Rock. For this interview, we go back to April the 8th, 2016, for a chat I had with Peter Wolf, frontman for the Jake Owls Band, who's pursued a solo career since the 1980s. Among other things, we talk about his eighth solo full-length, the new album at the time called A Cure for Loneliness. We speak of his entrance into the music business, including his time as a disc jockey, and his passion as a visual artist. The album had that week's coolest song in the world, Wasting Time. So we'll hear some of that now, followed by your coolest conversations with Peter Wolf in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Come here, baby. I'm going down slow. Coming up with nothing, girl. I got nothing to show. And it feels like I'm wasting my time.
Mighty Manfred here, and what a big day on our coolest conversations, because I got Peter Wolf on the phone with me now. Hello, Peter. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Mighty Manfred? The Wolf of Mama Tupa Hopalupa, the Green Teeth is here.
Excellent. Wasting Time is what we just heard, but I have to say that was 3 minutes and 39 seconds put to very good use. Track from the new album, A Cure for Loneliness, your eighth solo long player. Nine of those tracks you wrote or co-wrote with Will Jennings. What is the story on Wasting Time?
It is what it says. And it's a song that, you know, when people get into that feeling of funk where you feel like nothing's ever going to come your way and you're sitting there in the double cross on the highway and you're wondering about this, you're wondering about that, and you're trying to figure things out. And one night I was happening, I had a bottle of Kentucky's Finest. I was sitting in my kitchen and I hit this weird chord, and before I knew it, there it was, Wasting Time.
Do you think you cook up your best songs in the kitchen?
I do cook up the best songs in the kitchen. I like to keep the oven at 325 Fahrenheit.
No microwaving. Got to brown those suckers properly in the oven.
Exactly.
So years ago, you received a grant for being a painter to study at the Boston Museum School of Fine Arts, and you're there. And then one day, you jump up on stage and sing with this blues band. You have this musical performing epiphany. What took you so long to get there?
Well, I love music. I know the garage band's a big with Alan Freed, and I got to see one of Alan Freed's early cavalcade shows, and on the show was Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, Chuck Berry, Screamin' Jay Hawkins, the Everly Brothers, the Chantels, just a whole mirage of people. And so I became inducted into rock and roll at a very early age, and it was like a religious experience. And I was a fan. I always bought records, but the idea of performing never occurred to me until one day I was at this party with a lot of other art students and a little cucamonga wine, and somebody forgot the words to "There's a man down there. I don't know it. It might be yours." And I started singing the song, and once bitten, I was gone.
So when you were growing up in your household, was there... I mean, you had this love of rock and roll. Was there other music present in the household, or was there an emphasis on you pursuing a fine arts?
My dad was he was in vaudeville and an opera singer, so there was a lot of music. My sister danced on Alan Freed's Big Beat show. She was a dancer on that show. And so music was all around. She collected records. My dad had music. And I got into early doo-wop through my sister, because many of her friends had doo-wop bands in the hallways, and you'd find the right echo and doo-doop, doo-wah, doo-doo-ma, doo-doo-doo. And so doo-wop remains one of my great loves. And I grew up in the Bronx, not far from where Dion and the Belmonts came from, so I got hooked real early.
When, in the midst of this painting and rocking with bands, did you start DJing on the air as the Woofa Goofa Mama Tufa?
Well, the gentleman that had this radio, well, that was going to buy this radio station, used to come from a bar to Last Call, and I had this little funky apartment near the bar, and he used to come and just crash on my couch. And one day he said to me, Pete, let's go buy a radio station. Give me $10,000. I said, $10,000? I don't even have $10. So he said, well, you certainly got 10,000 worth of records here. So why don't you bring some of them down and help me out and maybe become a DJ? And I would always loved radio. Radio was the thing that taught me all I knew about music. And I was a radio addict. So the idea of being a DJ, that seemed so exciting. So I went down and I became the all-night DJ on WBCN from midnight to 6 in the morning. I was the Woofa Goofa Mama Tufa, making your knees freeze, your bladder splatter, the thing that's got to come out. That's what rock and roll is all about. Give us a call, don't you stall. Welcome to the little ladies tonight. Keep from Alabama, keeping it all here, all the ships out at sea, doing a tune and having some fun until the midnight sun. And get ready, because I'm going to tell you, but no other. We're going to hear something, but I am muddy water. And then that's how it used to go.
Man, that is such poetry, my friend. Well, you mentioned this funky apartment that guy came over to. That reminds me, I've read this thing a couple of different times, different places, that when you were there in Boston early on, I guess you're going to school still there, the fine arts thing, that you and David Lynch were roommates. Is that true?
That's true. I didn't have a place to stay. I was sleeping by the river, and it was going to storm, and I knew I needed some place to finally stay when I came up from New York to Boston, and I was looking in the hallway for roommates, and this guy comes up to me and said, you looking for a roommate? I said, yeah. He said, I got a place. I'm looking for a roommate. And I said, I'm your guy. And it turned out to be David Lynch, and he stayed, and he left to go to Philadelphia to pursue film, and I eventually left to pursue music. But we were both there for quite a while, and I think he thought I was a little too crazy.
Very cool. So the painting thing, you've left that way in the past? Or, I mean, did you ever get a chance to give, like, Ron Wood some painting lessons? Or is that something you pursue still at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny you talk about Ron Wood. We used to have a lot of draw-offs, you know, just sit around and drawing. And I got many of his drawings. I gave him some of my drawings, and Ron's been doing it for a long time, but yep, we have sketched together. Also, Keith Richards' son is a really good artist, Marlon. And so Marlon, Ronnie, and myself, we would sit around some afternoons and just draw.
Hey, today is A Cure for Loneliness's release day. It's April the 8th. Yes, today is a release date. And you got some shows lined up in support of the new album coming out tomorrow in Philadelphia at the World Cafe Live. Who are the guys in the band that are backing you right now?
Well, a lot of them are the guys that's on the record. So it's a really great band. They're called the Midnight Travelers. They've recorded with me many times, and it's a unique band of artists. These guys are unique in their own way, and I feel very blessed having them behind me night after night. So it's we can do everything, all the solo work, and we even throw in some of my favorite Guile songs. So it's usually a hot night in the town.
Well, on the album, you've got a couple of live tracks. Wasting Time, in fact, that's a live recording, right?
Well, yeah, we recorded a mixture of things, and what we did is we recorded in the studio, and then we did some recording live. And what we did with the new songs, we picked which ones sort of captured a better feel. Some of the live did, and then some of the studio did. Like, all the songs that you hear on the album, all were cut live and all were cut in the studio. We just picked and choose which ones seemed to have a little more just captured the essence.
Why did you decide to do a version or put a version of Love Stinks on the new album?
Well, we were, you know, I love lots of roots. I love the real old country, you know, the Hanks and Webb Pierce and Lefty Frizzell and Hank Williams, of course, and just Loretta and things like that. And also I got to meet Bill Monroe, and bluegrass was something that I loved, Stanley Brothers and things like that. And we were messing around backstage doing some sort of back porch acoustic stuff, and it was a night we were doing an acoustic performance, and we were playing some Bill Monroe things, and I just kind of started singing Love Stinks. Everybody started laughing around. It seemed good, so I called it on stage just out of the blue, and the band followed me, and we happened to be recording that night, and it wasn't planned, but there it was.
Well, another cool acoustic thing on there, so how you close the album with the song Stranger. So well, I got to ask, who inspired that? Is it Faye Dunaway? I mean, who was there, or is there a specific person at all that inspired that?
There's a lot of lost loves down the highway of broken hearts, shall we say. Mm. So I did it with the great Larry Campbell. We recorded that, and Larry plays some beautiful violin, and his wife Teresa sang on it. But we did one version with a back porch style. That's the one you're referring to, and that just seemed to have such a good lonely feel to it, we decided to include that one rather than the full band one.
I think it's pretty poignant that way. Now on the album, at one point you ask if we've got time for one more, and we certainly do, because I want us to take a listen to another track off the album in a moment. How Do You Know? That's got a live in the studio vibe. That one you wrote with this Will Jennings. What's the story on Will Jennings? And how'd you guys start working together?
Will Jennings is a real incredible songwriter. People might know him through Higher Love with Stevie Winwood, Tears from Heaven, Eric Clapton. He wrote a lot of great B.B. King songs. He's won tons of Grammys and Oscars, and he's quite something. He's a kindred spirit. He's been a songwriting partner with me for a really long while, and he and I just clicked personality-wise, and when I get together with Will, I feel so lucky because I found a real true soul brother, and that's not easy to find.
We'll take a listen to that, but first, Peter, thanks again so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Well, Mighty, that sounds mighty good to me. Let me hear you do a Yamagama.
Yamagama?
Yeah, Yamagama Guma Luma. Let me hear that.
Well, I tell you, wait, I got a great googly moogly. Great.
Oh,
googly
there moogly. You go. That's good. That's good. Well,
I was going to say let me out of here, but I'm very comfortable where I'm at. Actually, I think I should stay here and give this song a spin.
Mama, won't you take me? Mama, won't you take me home? You know how high is high?
Let's see. Oh, yeah. How high do I know is high?
When it hurts, then you know how high is high.
That's it. That's How Do You Know. And this is the tune. It's all Peter Wolf's latest, A Cure for Loneliness, and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Give me some goobalooba on it, some goobalator. There you go. Yeah, goobalator on it. How do you know which way I swing until you see me at the bat? How do you know I call this home because that's where I hang my hat? How do you know how fast I drive till you're riding in my car? How do you know how far to go until you get too far? Yeah. How much it costs until you pay the price? How do you know how good it is until you feel it twice? How do you know how much we drank until you check the whiskey jar? How do you know how far to go, baby, until you go too far?
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked. So he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe, Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com. Don't let it slide, baby, diamond ring.